The Gareth Cliff Show on CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, baby. What's happening, everybody? Are we good? Good, 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 good. Good, 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 good. Good, 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 good. Cause it's Friday. Yeah, it is Friday. Everybody knows it's Friday. Good morning, yeah. What's happening? Come on, tell me. I'll tell you. Britain has voted for a Brexit. See, again the media got it wrong. Again the left got it wrong. Again Europe got it wrong. And David Cameron got it wrong. So Britain are going to exit the EU. And this is going to make some people's heads explode today. You're going to see people going crazy. You're going to see a whole lot of madness. You're going to see the pound is already down 8%. You're going to see the oil price down 5%. You're going to see gold up about 7%. It's already happening. We'll check in with Anthea at about 6:45. She says not good news, but I'm not concerned. I think that, you know, this has all been priced in. This is what people were expecting. And I just love the way that the media just keep getting it wrong. The mainstream media just do not understand how tired people are of politics and the people in charge of the world. The media just don't understand how pissed off we are with institutionalized politicians and people who think they deserve jobs in politics just because they've had them for years and just because people who had them before were their daddies and mommies and aunts and uncles. And it's enough. People do not want mainstream politicians. And Hillary better watch out, because this is a shot across the bows for the Donald Trump campaign. If anything, and now that Bernie's out, Donald's the only non-establishment dude in politics in America. And he's also the one on the right who's growing. And this is what Americans are retaliating against: years of political correctness. They're retaliating against years of being told that they must do this and they mustn't do that. And this is what you get. For years and years now, the argument has been strengthened on the other side, but nobody's been listening. See, if you get shouted down the whole time, what you do is you get better and better at arguing. And that's precisely what's happened here. And people in Britain who did not like to be lumped in with France and Germany and millions of Syrian refugees have decided they'd actually quite like to be British. And that's why they've decided to vote for a Brexit. And now everybody's heads are exploding. It's fantastic to watch. There's going to be a lot of noise today. There's going to be a lot of interesting people looking like deers in the headlights, because everything that they were bargaining on has not happened. They thought things would just stay the same. And believe me, there's a camp in America that with Hillary thinks things will just stay the same. There's a camp in South Africa in the ANC that says things will just stay the same. You can rule from the top down. Well, not in the 21st century, because ordinary people have a voice. Ordinary people have a vote. And it's about time we told career politicians that we don't need them to lead us anymore. In fact, we don't want leaders. How about that? How about we all just become our own leaders? And more people are deciding to do that. So I'm very happy for Britain that this has taken place. Anyway, that's the breaking news for the morning, and it will be a discussion point through the course of the morning, but we've got loads of stuff, and I'm not just saying that this morning. We've got so much to talk about today. Pretty much between 7 when Justice comes in and 9 o'clock when we all leave, it's chock-a-block. We've got a guy called Joseph Philemon, who's better known as Jay Beats. He's popping by. We've got a guy who drove me in an Uber the other day who I asked to come in on the show. Just really interesting story. So we're going to talk to my Uber driver from the other night. I've got Katlego, my boy, popping in on the phone. You know, they've got Espresso going on as well. So he's probably going to step out of studio for a few minutes to talk about that song. Remember the song that he's created? You remember he came in and told us about it last time he was here. We got Harassed Mom. Have I left anything out, Flax? There's so much.
I think you've covered it all.
Yes, sis. Well, it's going to be busy. So Justice in at 7, and we'll talk to him about the Brexit as well. Anyway, not good. Brexit, my fuck. Ignoring a working class is a big mistake. Yeah, well, that's also true. That's part of what's gone on in Britain now. Cindy says, sounds like something is straight out of Compton this morning. Yeah, it is. And we'll take your calls. 0861-555-189. Tell us what you're up to. 0861-555-189. All right, where do we begin? Do you want to talk about this Brexit thing? You want to give me your opinion on what's going on there? You want to tell me what you think of all of this?
Well, I think people are asking, what does it mean? What does this now mean for the rest of us? That'll be the first question all this is about.
Well, it's going to mean there's going to be some instability in the markets for the next couple of days, and then it'll figure itself out.
Well, we're no strangers to that.
You know... Yeah, of course not.
Instability,
I mean,
yeah, no.
Exactly.
That's part and parcel of life.
Is there something else?
Let me tell you what's going on in the markets right now, because obviously they haven't opened yet anywhere, but here's what the currencies are doing.
Can you imagine the bars this evening for stock market people? They're all going to get so hammered from either good days or bad days, or just days where they know they're out of their depth.
You can buy a pound now for 20 rand and 72 cents. This is great value. If I were you, I'd buy pounds.
It was 24 not so long ago,
24,
right?
Almost 25 just a couple of days ago. The euro to the South African rand, 16 euro 97 cents. So the euro has strengthened. No, it actually hasn't compared to yesterday. It's also gone down. The dollar strengthened to 15.38. It was at about 14.60 yesterday. Bitcoin has gone crazy against the rand. That's great. And then the most important factor, I suppose, is that the pound to the dollar has dropped down. 1.34 pounds to every dollar.
Wow.
That's got to be the lowest it's been in a very long time.
It was 1.4 at 4:30 this morning.
Yeah. Okay, so there it is, 1.34. Right now, as we speak. So this is interesting. And I wonder how people... There are a lot of Brits who live in South Africa. There are a lot of British tourists who come to South Africa. There are lots of people. I'm going next week to the US ambassador's house, and there's going to be a whole lot of people from the British High Commission there. I'm going to ask them what they think. I'd be fascinated to know. And if you are perhaps an expat Brit and you live in South Africa now, what would you have voted if you were in Britain for this referendum? I think that referendums are so easy to do these days with technology that we should have them for a lot of things.
I agree.
You know, like let the ordinary people of every country decide what their politicians should do. And then, now you see, it's David Cameron's responsibility to now go and implement this. The people have said to him, that's what we want. And now he's going, oh shit, what am I going to do now? Because he was hoping for a Remain, right? Now he's got to work for his money. Now he's got to get stuck into fixing everything in terms of new treaties, in terms of making sure that trade relations are held up. He's going to have to make sure that he renegotiates the position of Britain, of the pound, of British trade deals, of exports and imports. It's going to be interesting. He's going to have to work for his money. But the people of Britain have spoken, even if it's by a small margin. They're tired of the politicians trying to ride roughshod over their own desires. It's very exciting. I see lots of other people here talking about this on Twitter. Let's see. Jonathan Witt says, it's funny that I started the show with Rule Britannia. Can't wait for Anthea this morning about Brexit on the podcast, David Boyser. Yeah, you can listen to us live too. I think it might be interesting this morning. Weekend mode on is what our picture with the guy from The Hangover. And like a storm of like trash and confetti. Yeah, the weekend is here, baby. Are we ready for this weekend? Anybody doing anything fun this weekend? Anything you want to tell us about? Hey, Pashita.
That photo, is that not Psy? Psy.
Is it Psy from
Psy.
Gangnam Style?
Yeah, that's not the dude from The Hangover.
Okay. All right. I thought it was the Chinese dude from The Hangover. You know, all Chinese people look the same to me. Oh, please. Do you think I'm being serious? Brexit stage right, says BuzzFeed. Lots of media outlets are just really taken aback by all of this. Xenophobia, here's Sarah Silverman. She says, xenophobia wins in Britain, but what did they win? Well, that's such a simplistic way to look at it. And you know you're going to hear a lot of this. You're going to hear, oh, Britain's racist, Britain's xenophobic, Britain's doesn't like being in the EU, Britain doesn't want refugees. Well, who does want refugees? What do they do for a country except make it very, very difficult for the people of that country to get the jobs? And, by the way, it has to be a system of accommodation, which means that it's very, very difficult for the country in the short term. In the long term, of course, immigration and that sort of thing is very good. But if you have millions of people coming into your country because their country's shit, guess what? That puts a huge strain on the economy. You can call it xenophobia. How about you call it looking after yourself? On my way to gym, keep me entertained, you punks, says Greg. Well, we'll try, Greg. We'll definitely try. Let me see. Sinn Féin, rather, has said, the British government has forfeited any mandate to represent economic or political interests of the people of Northern Ireland. So now Northern Ireland's upset. You're going to see Scottish people who wanted to remain are going to say, I told you we should have been a separate country. We shouldn't have been voting with the rest of Britain. You watch. It's going to go crazy today.
Yeah, they were very much on the remain, the Scots.
Yeah. I see the EU referendum results coming in, and Brexit wins as Britain votes to leave Europe. You watch, the same level of disbelief will happen when Donald Trump becomes president in America. People are going to go, ah! They'll lose their minds. Apparently, they've redone the Ghostbusters theme. Do you want to hear it?
I heard it's terrible.
Well, some people saying it's terrible. Some people say they like it. It's like the Brexit Remain. So here it is. It's called I'm Not Afraid, featuring Missy Elliott with Fallout Boy. The new Ghostbusters theme, right? Remember, the Ghostbusters are all women in the new movie. What do we think? I think it's average.
Crap. So do you want to see the breakdown of the Brexit?
Yeah, go for
countries,
it.
Okay, so Northern Ireland, 55.7% wanted to remain, 44.3% said no. Wales, there were 55% saying leave, 44% saying remain. Mm-hmm. Scotland, 62.2% wanted to stay, 37.8% leave. And in England, there were 54.6% to leave, 45% to stay.
Huh. So England and Wales pulled everyone towards an exit. Northern Ireland and Scotland said stay. Oh, while we're talking about the Ghostbusters theme, this is pretty funny. I found these clips of if we had songs from today and we put them in like a 1980s sort of sound, what they'd sound like. Listen to this. So this is What Do You Mean if it was written in the 1980s. Justin Bieber's What Do You Mean? All right, I think you're going to like this. So if you're an 80s fan, this is What Do You Mean, 1986. All right? You can almost hear Whitney Houston singing this, right? Listen to the instruments and everything.
You're so indecisive, what I'm saying.
Huge reverb.
Time to catch the beat, make up your heart. Don't know if you're happy or complaining. Don't want for us to win, where do I start? First you wanna go to the left, then you wanna turn right.
Big drums,
wanna
right?
Argue all day, make a love all night. First you're up, then you're down, and we'll be between. Oh, I really wanna know. What do you mean?
Do. Oh, oh. Do you like that?
Well, ask Flex and Pashida, because they're the young ones.
What do you think? The 80s were very cheesy, right? What do you think of that?
Very
shocking.
Cheesy.
How would you like to hear Cheerleader by Omi, done in that that style?
No.
1980s, all right? Here we are in the 80s.
Don't
Resolution is my queen, cause she stays strong. Yeah, yeah, she is old.
All right, that's more of a polka version. Let's go back to the 80s. How about another? Oh, here's a good one. What's her name? Ariana Grande. What's that song called? One Last Time. Listen to this. 1980s style, all right? For everybody who loves 80s. Stock Aitken and Waterman. I feel like I'm back. Let me start this again. It's 1986, folks. Good morning to you. You're listening to WPLJ. I'm Scott Shannon. This is something new from Ariana Grande. She's new on the scene. I hope your hair is long. I hope you're wearing a leather jacket and you've rolled the sleeves up real good. Believe this. Bring on the chorus, baby. You can hear that 1980s sound, right?
Flex has been very quiet.
Yeah, Flex, what do you think?
I like the Justin Bieber ones. The other ones, they didn't go together. They didn't flow.
Do you want to hear another Bieber one?
Of course.
Okay, 1985's on VHS. Imagine this. You put a VHS into the machine and it's grainy and you get to see Justin Bieber back in 1985. Of course, he wasn't even born. But here it is. This is how he would have sounded if he were born at the same time as, let me think, as Tiffany and Rick Astley and Kylie Minogue, all right? There he is. Can't you just hear, like, Billy Ocean in there? Doesn't it sound like... She touched my and painted on dreams, right? Power up your queen. All right, here is Justin Bieber, everybody. 1985.
All the times that you ran on my parade. And all the clubs you get in using my name. Broke my heart, oh girl, for goodness sake. You think I'm crying on my own?
Listen to these instruments.
I didn't want to write a song, cause I didn't want anyone thinking I still care or don't. But you still hit my phone, and I'll be moving on. And I think it should be something I don't want to hold back. Maybe you should
know. Here we go.
That my mama don't lie.
All right, 80s fans.
So what we've learned this morning is that Justin Bieber should have actually been in the 80s. He shouldn't be with us now.
That's exactly right. All right, and Dory, who works in the office, is a massive 80s fan. She sent me a song yesterday. I'm not going to actually play the whole thing, but she made this song choice just to irritate Ben. All right?
Ooh.
So she loves 80s. Yeah. What's
what,
up, Flex?
What, like, club music did you guys listen to?
That
in the
was
80s?
Club music.
Oh.
That's what you would groove
so
to.
So, like, bass drops and.
I'll play you a club song from the 1980s just now. But okay. here's Dory's song. This is also from the 80s. Get everybody a little bit nostalgic. How do you like that, Flex? Huh?
So like porno.
Yeah.
I just got your message, baby. It's a sight to see you fade away.
All right, here's an example of a club song from the 1980s. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. People would dance themselves crazy on this. Ready? Now, this is just an example off the top of my head. It's even got dance in the song title. I mean, this is actual, the sound of an actual club. All right? This is the club version, even. Do-do-do-do. Everybody else here is too young to even remember this except me. Could you dance this, Flax?
I think I even know the song.
You do know this song.
This is Shania Twain.
Yes, Flax, that's who it is. That's Shania Twain, and she's singing I Wanna Party It Up.
The Lonely Heart.
That's right, yeah. You see, Flax does know it. It's Whitney Houston, Flax. Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody.
But people still party to this song.
That was big. Are you kidding? That was huge. And that's why it's still good. There are certain songs that are timeless, and even cheesy 80s timeless can sometimes make it. And the hair and the... You can't believe how shitty fashion was in the 80s. Loud colors, Lumo, big hair, big curly permed hair.
It was like the music, really.
Black and white people had the same hair. I mean, Whitney Houston's hair in this music video is something to behold.
Yeah, she's got a nice weave on.
Yeah.
But you know, if you just go through the different decades and listen to what the sound of that time was, there really is no point in getting upset about how music sounds today. It's the sound of now. Right. You're just old.
That's it.
I mean, today's thing is autotune. That's what it is. You know, back then it was, I don't know, like there's no point in actually getting upset about how music changes.
Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, 1930s and 40s music was absolutely shocking. It was terrible. Yes. But in their time, they thought it was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all the people, unfortunately, who liked that kind of music are now dead, so nobody listens to it anymore. But this was the most popular song in that time. Listen to this. This was their dance music then. This is what you would have danced to in the 1930s.
And even then, the really old people would be like, oh, not this rubbish.
Well, the people from the 1800s would have said, oh, this is terrible. All right. I mean, can you imagine? 1940s. Slightly more kind of recognizable, but still crap, right? This is called the Cole Porter Stomp. And then in the 1950s, well, the beginning of the 1950s, you would have had this. This was the biggest hit of that time, the biggest by a long way.
Vor der Kaserne, vor dem großen Tor, stand eine Laterne und steht sie noch davor.
No, really.
Wollen wir uns da wiedersehen? Bei der Laterne wollen wir stehen, wie einst die liebe Marlene.
Really, that was like Marlene Dietrich and Lily Marlene.
So, I mean, that just sounds awfully boring.
It's terrible, right?
Yes.
But if we listen to it now, we think, ugh.
Yeah.
But I have an appreciation for this kind of thing. That's why the other day I think I played, what did I play for you? La Vie en Rose by, I've just struck a blank. Famous French singer, man.
Gérard Depardieu.
No, Gérard Depardieu.
Yeah. Gérard Depardieu is an ugly guy.
He's got a big
nose. And... being black naked on the beaches of France.
Right. La Vie en Rose. It's, who sang that? For God's sake, what's wrong with me? I can't figure anything out this morning. Edith Piaf. That's right, Edith Piaf. So yeah, I listen to that kind of song, and I really it kind of puts you in that place. But you imagine years and years before that. Like, let's even imagine before Mozart. So we have to go back to about the 12 and 1300s. I mean, it must have just been dum-dum-dum-dum. You know, not even dum-dum. I don't even think Happy Birthday was a melody that they had in those days. That's such weird music. Like harpsichords and lots of drums. Drums were always a big deal across the whole world. And then they developed guitars. But originally it was something like a lute. A lute, L-U-T, so I think it had three or four strings. And Henry VIII wrote a song, do you know that?
Oh, goodness.
King Henry VIII actually wrote a song. And I'll play it for you quickly. I mean, I haven't got the original recording because there was no way to record back in those days. But here it is. This is the song that King Henry VIII, who cut off three of his wife's heads, he invented the song. You know the tune, right? But it probably would have sounded a little bit more like this because it was on a lute. You know the song. You must have heard it somewhere, right?
It sounds vaguely familiar. It was all about cutting heads off, wasn't it?
No, it was called green sleeves.
Is Henry VIII the one who died obese and had to make monstrous. His coffin extra big?
It was octagonal in size.
Revolting.
Revolting. And he exploded outside of his coffin.
Yes, and all the juices were pouring out, right?
That's right. And the dogs licked up the juices, bringing a prophecy. Bringing a prophecy to fruition. Yep. Someone prophesized when he was destroying the monasteries. They said, you, Henry VIII, you son of a bitch, one day when you die, the dogs will lick your bones and drink your blood. And that's exactly what happened.
And then was that guy burned at the stake?
Of course.
You couldn't.
You can't just say that in 1500. What are you kidding? Yeah, come on. These days you could say stuff like that to leaders and they have to take it. In those days, they didn't have to take it. They didn't have to tolerate that shit from people like us. All right, that was a nice fun trip down memory lane, but we're running late for sport and we've got to get to Anthea to find out whether we're completely and utterly screwed by the Brexit or whether we'll be okay. Here's Ben with the sport.
42 days until the Olympics. Today's a little Olympic fact. Do we know why there are five rings?
Five continents.
Yeah, five continents.
I was going to open that to the floor.
Sorry.
Five continents, correct, yes. So the sixth one almost it could be a mini ring this year, and that is the team of the refugees.
Oh, really? There's a refugee
team? There's a refugee team. So there are five rings, the five continents. The Olympics was about these countries coming together, but now there is actually the refugee team coming together as well. Now, if you go into my Twitter timeline, there's a fascinating article about the Olympics where all of this comes into play. Anyway, Jason Day says he is undecided about playing in the Olympics, right? Jason Day is the world's best golfer right now. So when a golfer says he's undecided, well, he's going to McIlroy, isn't he? So yeah. Jason Day, moments away now from basically
he's
saying...
He's making a Brexit from the Olympics.
He's probably going to make a Brexit. I had a poll on Twitter, which is going to be the next golfer to basically say no thanks to the Olympics. And 35% said Jordan Spieth, 30% said Jason Day. Jason Day, mark my words, he'll be the next one to say... for family reasons, I do not want Zika. And then they'll be the world's number one golfer. And then the domino effect will carry on to the point where, as I said yesterday, Rafael Cabrera-Bello, that guy will win the Olympic gold. In other Olympic news around the golf, Graham McDowell says that he is not going to replace Rory McIlroy. But Porridge Harrington, he's dead keen.
Porridge?
Yeah.
In porridge that you eat.
Well, there's, you know, these Irish names. There's like...
Is it Podraig?
D's and G's and...
Is it Podraig or Porridge?
Well, whatever, it's Gareth.
No, come on, Ben. I mean, it's the guy's name.
Podraig.
Podraig, so it's Patrick.
But it's always spelt in different ways, though. You can never know if it's the Gaelic spelling or the whatever. So Harrington says that he's very keen to play. He's going to do whatever he can to get his game in check. Now, Porridge had a really good run. He won three majors in total, I think.
Podraig.
And he's been pretty much useless ever since. But he's the only one next in line, really, because nobody wants to play in Rio. On to football news. Of course, this is the big weekend for the last 16. Just to give you a recap of those matches again. Switzerland will take on Poland tomorrow, Saturday, 3 p.m. SA time. And then Wales will take on Northern Ireland at 6. Croatia versus Portugal at 9. Sunday we'll see Romania and France and Republic of Ireland go head-to-head at 3 o'clock. Germany versus Slovakia at 6. Hungary versus Belgium at 9. And then Monday we'll wrap up the last 16 with Italy versus Spain at 6. And England versus Iceland at 9. So if you want to look at the draw and you want to see exactly what that means, who's bracketed with who, you've got to look at a team like Croatia and think, well, hang on a second. These guys are actually a decent bet all of a sudden. They're half of the draw, so if they go through, okay, they got Portugal. If they beat Portugal, they'll play the winner of Switzerland and Poland. If they go through from there, they're likely to play probably Belgium. Now, Belgium aren't amazing right now. They've got Hungary in the next round. They are getting better and better. The other side of that little bracket is Wales versus Northern Ireland. So Croatia are going to be thinking, well, I haven't really got any of the massive names to go to get into the final.
Morning, Anthea.
Hello.
Sorry, Ben.
On the other side...
What's going on, Ben? You're struggling.
On the other side of the draw, you've got a much tougher run-in if your teams like England, France, Italy, Germany.
So England's also going to lose against Iceland.
Well, I just use England there because they're at the bottom half of their bracket. So Germany will take on Slovakia, right? Italy take on Spain. Now, that is a very, very difficult draw because suddenly in the quarterfinals, you've got two of those four teams are going to drop out. So if Germany gets through, they're going to play either Italy or Spain. And those are two pretty big teams to kind of meet so early on. So if you're looking for an outside bet on this Euros, Croatia are looking good. Very good bet, actually. Only 5 million people live there, but they've got a bloody good football team, and they could be the dark horses along with the usual favourites. So if you're tired of just betting on people like France or Germany or Spain, Croatia could be just that little ticket you're looking for this weekend.
All right.
The final of the Copa America will take place, and there's Argentina versus Chile. They've both been, there's only two teams that could really contest this final. They've been the form teams. They've been scoring loads of goals. And also incredibly attractive supporters. If you don't like football but you're a pervert, you can always watch Copa America. There's something in it for everyone there. It really is quite a beautiful thing. Into rugby, Alistair Garcia has named his team to take on Ireland in the must-win third and final test between SA and Ireland. He's made two changes, both in the starting lineup and two changes on the bench. To run you through that, Vili Leroux retains his place. He's quite lucky to do so. He's the fullback. Ruan Comrick will come in on the right wing. Lionel Mapu and Damien D'Alenley, they retain their centre pairing. JP Peterson on the left. John Cheese and De Klerk will be your halfback pairing. And then Warren Whiteley comes in for the injured Dwayne Vermeulen. Sir Khaleesi is retained. Francois Lowe also stays on there. Ibn Etzebeth, Peter Steffetoy is the dream team of the lock pairings. And then Francois Herber, again, he's quite lucky to stay on there. He, along with Adrian Strauss and Tendai Mtarira. That is your front row. Bongio Mbonambi will maybe get his first cap, as will Stephen Kitsoff. That is your front row replacements, along with Julian Ridlinghaus, who's played bloody well throughout the series. Franco Mostert and Jaco Creel are the forward replacements. Jaco Creel looking to get his first cap there. And then Loazi Mvovo drops down to the bench, where he'll be joined with Mornay Steyn and Rudy Page as the backline replacements. Ireland have made 5 changes. They've had to make some for injuries. And then CJ Stunder, who missed out in the Ellis Park match because of the red card he got, he comes back. So that is a really, really big game. And again, if you're a betting man, there's some pretty decent odds that Ireland can win with a 9-point handicap. Now, I think that's pretty decent because if the box win by 8, I reckon that's a good showing. So good bet there as well. New Zealand versus Wales will be the other international match to look forward to in the morning. And then Australia versus England. England are doing their utmost to get a whitewash against the Aussies, and it's very much on the cards. That game will take place at 12. Other international matches, the SA versus Ireland, by the way, that'll be at 5 o'clock. Other international rugby look forward for the weekend is the Under-20 World Cup, and that's Argentina versus SA. Oh. That'll be the bronze match at 3:30. And then the grand final, Ireland versus the might of England at 8 o'clock. I really can't see anyone stopping England. I can't even see most full-grown adult international teams stopping these under-20s from England at the moment. They are ginormous. They've got skill. They've got confidence. They've got pace. They've got flair. They really are. It's the future of rugby. England have really turned things around because they haven't got politicians interfering with their sport. They just have professionals working on their sport. So look for England to win that one and be the world under-20 champions again. On to cricket. Oh, sorry. Just quickly on the rugby, the rugby championship fixtures have been confirmed. So the first match there will take place August 20th. So we're going to finish internationals this weekend, and it's back to Super Rugby for part 2. And then when that finally closes, we've got Australia versus New Zealand for the first match, August 20th. South Africa will start against Argentina, and they're going to start in a game in Nelspruit. That'll be August the 20th. They then go over to the Estadio Padre Ernesto Martarena to play against Argentina. That's the second match. 27th of August. Then South Africa, they go to Australia where they'll play in Brisbane, a happy hunting ground for them recently. And then they'll play, and it's September 10th. September 17th, they'll take on the All Blacks in Christchurch. So they've got three away games there. It's a bit of a hard slog. But then they come back, and then they've got Australia in Pretoria on October 1st. And then they've got the All Blacks on the 8th at Durban. That is the Rugby Championship. Something to be very excited about if our team can get this stuff together. Cricket news, Anil Kumble is the new head coach of India. Now, what India has done is they've just gone with someone who's famous. Anil Kumble's got no coaching experience whatsoever. But it's all about getting big-name people in because people love Anil Kumble. It was either that or Tendulkar. But Tendulkar, as a demigod, isn't allowed to coach after he's retired. He has to just basically stand around and give TV producers something to film. Mm-hmm. Now, India will go to the West Indies next month for a repeat series because West Indies were meant to go to India and then West Indies had to pull out and there was issues and then India were trying to sue the West Indies. So this tour here with Anil Kumble leading the charge for the Indians is like a goodwill gesture and then they can all be friends again. England will take on Sri Lanka in the second ODI, which is today at 3 o'clock. The first one, of course, was a thrilling draw. So all to play for in that series will be very entertaining, but look for England to bounce back properly here. Mostly because Angelo Matthews probably won't be playing. And then also today at 7 o'clock, you'll see West Indies versus SA. Now, that the winner goes into the final, essentially. And that Sunday, we'll see the final. So it's the triangular series, conclusion of the triangular series between Australia, SA, and the West Indies. In tennis, Wimbledon starts this coming Monday. So this is your first, or so your last bit of weekend free of tennis. And then it's just strawberries, cream, or whatever else you put in your mouth while you're watching tennis. It's going to be quite something. Played it. SW19, as those pompous pricks like to call it. Wimbledon's Wimbledon. I'll talk about a street address. We don't talk about street addresses anywhere else in the world. Golf news. The Quicken Loans National is taking place right now. That is at Congressional, which is a beautiful course where Ernie Els was the US Open champion back in 1997. No Tiger Woods. He is one of the hosts of the tournament, but he is, of course, back injury, so he's not in. But John Rahm, at the moment, he's doing really well, -7. And Ernie Els is tied third, top South African there, -5. And then in Germany, you've got the BMW International Open with Rafael Jacqueline. He's -7. Best place South African there is Brandon Sonner, -2. And to MotoGP, they're all gone to the Netherlands this weekend. So if you like a two-wheel Fast and Furious action, the Netherlands MotoGP. That's something to look forward to throughout the weekend. And that pretty much is it, Gareth. This obviously football dominates with the Euros, the Copa America final, and we've got great international rugby. New Zealand versus Wales, Australia versus England, and SA versus Ireland, and then cricket. Cricket on Friday and Sunday. Hopefully SA play in both matches there, and hopefully they can win a trophy. Although it means absolutely nothing, it's always good for SA to win something outside of World Cups.
All right, Ben, thank you very much. Lots to talk about this morning. None more important than the Brexit. And here is Anthea Gardner. Anthea, Brexit has happened.
Not such a good morning, Gareth. Can you believe this?
I love a little upheaval. What are you talking about?
Oh, right. Me, not so much. The market's going to take an absolute hammering today. I mean, I think my favorite comment, we have this WhatsApp group, and one of the guys wrote, market's getting smoked, strap yourself in. It really is, though. And the pound is down 10%. And
yeah.
That's the worst it's been since 1985. So, and for us, of course, the rand is weaker. Yesterday, the rand against the dollar traded at 14.39, this morning 15.38. I don't think I've seen that for a while, not in one day anyway.
No, but I mean, you know that this is an immediate reaction. It's going to balance out.
So that's what I think as well. So everything is just absolutely falling in a heap. Asian markets, the Nikkei, which is the Japanese benchmark index, is down 8% this morning. That's crazy, right? And all of this, like, the concern here is the uncertainty. So everybody's going, of course, it's going to take off, shave off some of the GDP growth. You know, it'll increase inflation. It'll reduce capital inflows into Britain and it'll reduce labor flows. But nobody knows by how much. And I think it's a question of whether or not it's going to be an easy or an acrimonious divorce, basically. And I can't imagine that the EU are going to turn around and go, well, that's it, you have to leave and we hate you forever, so we're never going to trade with you again. I think they're going to do whatever they can to keep trade agreements in place. Exactly. So this overreaction, and as Buffett says, be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. And this market is being fearful at the moment. That's what it is.
So this is a great time to buy pounds.
Absolutely.
While they're cheap as chips. This is a great time to actually to invest in Britain, and a great time to kind of find your trade agreement ground now.
Yeah. The problem for us, or me, is
isn't it fair to say that, I mean, even if the pound did hover around 20 to the rand, mm-hmm. it's probably, and let's look more at the 134 to the dollar. If it hovers around there, isn't that more of where its value should be? Hasn't it been horribly overvalued by the financial markets? I mean, there is an argument for that.
There is definitely an argument for that. It's difficult to say in this situation because we don't know the impact. So how do you value it now without knowing what the impact of Brexit is going to be?
You need time, right?
Yes, you do need.
So everybody's overreacting now because they want to make a quick buck on the up or the down. And unfortunately, this is what's happened. We're in instant gratification age. And we're trying to find all the answers in the first 5 minutes. It's not going to happen.
Exactly. And this is where the opportunity lies for us. Unfortunately, of course, is that we already hold the capital in counties, the Brits, the Mediclinics, and these are going to come under huge pressure today. There's no doubt about that. But I think give it 2 or 3 days and the market will settle down and we'll see what happens. And then we make decisions. I think there'll be some interesting things happening this weekend. I think you'll see probably an emergency G7 meeting. I think the U.S. Fed are likely to not raise interest rates at their next meeting. Just time to settle. That's what's going to have to happen now.
Right. Now, how does this affect the euro, and what are the currencies looking like at the moment?
So the yen's very strong. The euro is strong as well. Pound, of course, as I said, has fallen in a heap. Dollar is fairly strong. And so the thing is that people are investors or traders, because these are not investors. I think these are traders. Yeah. They're running to safe haven. So they're running to the yen, they're running to the dollar, they're running to gold.
Gold is up 7%.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oil is down 5%.
Yes, because that's all about economic growth and trade agreements. And so now they don't know what's going to happen. They don't know where the growth is going to come from. This
right.
They're worried about growth. Very concerning.
No, it's very exciting. This is a good time to be alive. No, we get to see institutions that don't necessarily have the kind of mandate that they thought they have behaving outside of their magisterium, and now they're being brought back into line by people.
I see there have been some calls for David Cameron's resignation already.
Well, he staked his career on this, so it's probably an acceptable thing for him to now, you know, get going.
Yeah. And I imagine there's probably going to be another Scottish independence referendum as well, right?
Well, I see the Scottish minister, what's her name, saying, the leader of the SNP, Scotland's first minister, Nicola Sturgeon, saying that Scotland sees its future as part of the EU.
Oh, right. So, she's already talking about
it. But nobody gives a damn. I mean, no, but this is when someone loses an election, who's bothering to listen? She's in the same situation, if not a worse one, than David Cameron, because Scotland overwhelmingly voted the opposite way.
It really is about uncertainty. I think what's going to happen now as well is that potentially the Bank of England will have to cut interest rates. I mean, of course, it's all dependent on where this goes. But the way things are going this morning, it looks like England's now going for heading towards zero interest rates, and they might even have to employ quantitative easing. And if you think about the fact that it was the politicians that brought this on, then, as you say, yes, kind of they get what they deserve, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a slap in the face of politicians and mainstream media more than anything else.
Mm.
All right, so what should we be looking at now? Our portfolio is going to take a bit of a knock. You said capital and counties, Brait, Investec,
Mediclinic, Old Mutuals.
Right.
Those are all going to take a knock. So I actually, I can't predict what's going to happen this morning, other than I think it's going to take a knock. And if it is oversold, make no mistake, I'll be buying some.
Oh, yeah.
But I, you know, so I'll be watching carefully. I'll just have to wait and see.
Now, what do you do in this situation? I mean, do you sell the shares you already have and rebuy them at a lower price later today?
It depends. So what happens this morning between 5:00 to 9:00, the market goes into auction, and it's almost sort of pre-market. So you can see where the shares are going to open. Let's say Capital & Counties, for example. And if it is going to open 10 or 15% lower than yesterday, I will just hang on to my shares. But if it opens about 2% or 3% lower than yesterday, then I will sell because I think it will fall further late on in the day, and then buy back late on or Monday or Tuesday. Yes. So today, this morning, will be all about trading.
All right. You let us know what happens.
Of course I will.
All right. You can
I'll speak to you on Monday.
Cool. But we can always follow you on Twitter. I'm sure there'll be stuff to talk about.
Yes, I'll do that. I'll post on Twitter what's happening at market open.
Yeah, and your username is at Anthea Cartesian.
At Anthea Cartesian.
Right, very good.
Anthea, are you expecting a bumper session at the bar later today? with everyone being so stressed and hard worked with all of this?
When you say later today, what time am I allowed to have my first glass of wine?
Oh, no, you go
10 a.m.
Whenever, yeah.
Yeah, it might have to be, guys.
All right, well, thank you very much.
I need the strength.
All right, Anthea. Very good.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Excellent. There's Anthea Gardner with a look at what Brexit means for us. You know what? These things happen. Sometimes the vote doesn't go the way that the market, the media, or the politicians think it will. Because ordinary British people have decided they don't want to be a part of the EU anymore. So what are you going to do? What, are you going to sit and cry about it as if it was your decision, your vote? It isn't. So let them do their thing. I see a lot of people saying Happy Independence Day, Britain, as if they were ever kind of owned by the EU. And you'll see a lot of British nationalism coming to the fore now. You'll see them talking about Crecy and Agincourt and all the other great battles of the 1300s when they were fighting the French in the Hundred Years' War. You watch, there'll be lots of that kind of noise. But we are in South Africa, and in a couple of minutes' time, Justice Malala is going to remind us of what we have to deal with, which is the violence going on in Tshwane. I see Togo Didiza is not at all concerned about what's going on. She says, not a problem. Tshwane will return to order. It's not the end of the world. Everybody calm down. So she's also looking at things as being maybe a little bit more... You know, sometimes there's paranoia. And I don't know that that's the case because we've actually had people killed. And I don't know if that's the case because I read the most heartbreaking status update yesterday from a young guy who, with his mom and his dad, when he started, his dad has died subsequently. They opened up a store in Attridgeville. The store has been completely ransacked. Their family business is gone. They used to do everything they could to help, to integrate, to save people in that community money. And they've just been destroyed, decimated by rogue, vagabond thieves and opportunists who've been looting their store. So the store is gone, they're out of business, and he put up this heartbreaking status update on Facebook, which has actually gone viral. A lot of people are retweeting it and reposting it on Facebook, but... You know, that's the ugly face of something like this. Let's completely forget about whether Hosien Soro Makgopa or Togo Didiza is going to be the mayoral candidate. At this stage, they both deserve to lose because of what they've done to these communities. And it's sad. Again, it's the poor people. It's the people in the townships who will lose. And the ANC just uses people. That's what's going on here. And the only winners are... the people who've managed to steal like a bag of, I don't know, chips or a pot or a pan or a TV or whatever they managed to loot out of a store. And they win in the short term, but in the long term they lose. Because do you think anyone's going to open up a store in those neighborhoods again? No. So those people are going to have to walk for miles next time they want to buy something. Because the industrious people who opened up a store there are not going to carry on running that store now. They've learnt their lesson. They've seen the real face of this community. They want nothing to do with it. And I guarantee you this is not everyone in that community who's involved in looting. It's probably a small handful of unruly criminals. And for most of the old people and for the people who are off at work and are not part of all the violence, they don't know this. But when they get back, those people who were part of the violence have taken their community down another few rungs on the ladder and made it that much harder for them. As if their lives aren't already hard enough. That makes me very, very sad. All right, when we come back in a while, we'll talk to Justice Malala, the burning platform brought to you by Nando's. All of that's on the way. Also do some news headlines with Mubs, and then we've got a busy morning ahead of that.
CliffCentral.com.